This is what Jesus has said. All things are possible to those who believe, and all things are possible with God. Many people like to think that all religious leaders can be trusted. But it is what it is in our day and time that not all religious leaders can be trusted. And those that are begging for money over television or over radio and the like, they're not all to be trusted. Ministers normally rank high in the polls concerning people who that you can trust. That is unfortunately no longer the case many times. You see, people will often accept whatever the preacher, the priest, or the rabbi says as the truth. And they will defend it. They will say, my rabbi, my preacher, my priest told this, said this, and I believe it. And that's from God because that's a man of God. And so we as ministers have a great responsibility to make sure that we are called of God, first of all, to proclaim the truth of the Word of God, and that we don't compromise or we don't deceive anyone. Here's an interesting quote I read. Now I want to read this to you as well. It's by Dean and Laura Vandruff. As spiritual adultery increases in the church, false prophets will flourish as highly sought after speakers. And as Christians accept more of these false teachings indiscriminately, many will fall away, believing in a phony faith. Since we have been warned, it might be wise to seek insight into how to discern false prophecy. What are false prophets likely to say? What are false prophets like? Good questions. Wouldn't you agree? Jesus told his disciples of the fact that we should beware of false prophets. False prophets may appear like sheep, but inwardly they're like wolves. We need to be able to identify them, knowing what to look for when we identify false prophets. I'll just give you one example. A long time ago in Texas, I received a flyer in the mail that a so-called prophet was going to do a presentation at a hotel. Not in a church, at a hotel. And of course, I went for the one reason, just to see what he would say. I didn't go there to try to receive God's truth or as a searcher. I tried to discern. I tried to learn how false prophets operate. First of all, this was not in a church. And that could be good or bad if something like that is in a hotel. But I went there and it was interesting to hear this man talk about the end times and talk about Jerusalem and Israel and how everything will play out in Israel. By the way, when you hear about those, that in Israel, in Jerusalem, everything in the end times will play out in that little tiny country, beware. Be careful when you hear that. And this prophet, he proclaimed. He said that, I think it was in the year 2000, around there. He said that on September 18th that year, something very significant would happen in Israel, that God would do something there, that the whole world would hear it. And he had this whole fantasy, and he used some scripture and some Jewish writings and all of that and to make this prophecy. One of our sons was with me, and I said, on the way home, I said, look, if this, what he prophesied, will happen, he's a true prophet. But if it won't happen, according to the Old Testament, in the eyes of God, he is deserving of death. Not that I promote that, but in the Old Testament, a false prophet was to be put to death because he was deceiving people. September 18th came, nothing happened. None of what he said happened. And loved ones, when we hear about prophecies, we should be very careful. Because there are a lot of false prophets. They will tell you this, they will tell you that, and they will tell you that. And it's always, isn't it amazing? People go to these palm readers and these magicians and all of that, and they want to discover the future, what will happen then and then and then and then. Where were those prophets when 9/11 happened? Who prophesied that? Nobody. So a lot of these so-called prophets are not from God. God didn't tell them. I want to tell you another example. I used to be on the email list of a fellow. His last name was Keller. I'm not sure what his first name was, but he had an internet prayer ministry. And it expanded greatly. And he had, every day he had a devotional, and some of his devotionals were really good. So I thought, okay, every day I receive a devotional. But what he used then is, he used the opportunity to then put in what he believed. And he started to be very bold about prophecy. And the elections came up in 2004. And I remember one preacher said that John Kerry would win the election. And the other said George Bush would win the election. And so preachers took the freedom to prophesy who would win. And so this man sent an email and said, God, this was his word, God showed me that George Bush will not win re-election because of his handling of Israel. His relationship or lack of it or whatever, he hadn't done enough for Israel and he had all this these reasons. He said, God showed me this in prayer. That George Bush will lose the re-election and John Kerry will be elected president of the United States. I kept that email. And I thought, if this man is right, I might believe him the next time he says something. But he was wrong. And after the election, he sent out an email apologizing. But loved ones, if someone says, God spoke to me, God said it, that is very heavy, isn't it? And we should be careful if someone says, God told me this and this, God told me this and this. You see, if it's not consistent with the scriptures, and if we become so bold that we start to setting dates and setting this and pronouncing this that has actually nothing to do with the life of the child of God or with the life of the church, we should be extremely careful. This is why Jesus says, beware of false prophets. Now, I sent him an email, and he got an earful from me. And I said, I don't want to have any more of your devotionals, of your prophecies. Please take me off your list. Well, he apologized. He said, I made a mistake. That wasn't a mistake. That was more than that. It was a blatant lie. You see, I want to read this. This is the purpose of the... When we read in the Bible about prophecy, prophecy is actually proclamation of God's word. When I preach, in a way, I use prophecy. Because we know that proclaiming the truth of the Bible, proclaiming the word, is always the safest way to prophesy. Since the church's foundation, someone writes, no one today exercises the gift of prophecy as the prophets and apostles of old did. That's true. Yet the prophetic responsibility to explain God's word to the people remains, and teachers are obligated, like the prophets, to preach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therefore, teachers who exhort us to live out Jesus' rules for kingdom life bear good fruit. Sound teachers call us to repent, to live as salt and light, recognize our inability to keep God's law under our own power, and follow Christ wholeheartedly. True teachers never knowingly reject Scripture's clear teaching. And I like that. That's what I try to live by. You see, the words of our Savior in our text here gives us opportunity to remind us that we should be aware that false prophets will be in our society, in our world today. And Paul says this even to the church. The church in the New Testament, as it was born and as it came to light, and this gospel message spread soon after this glorious appearance of the church, the apostles started warning of false prophets. Listen to this. In Acts chapter 20, verse 28 through 31. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. He actually speaks to the elders there. Among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. That's how close, that's how precious, that's how wonderful and how important the church of God is to Jesus Christ, because he purchased it with his own blood. We are his blood relatives. Blood family. For I know this, he says, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will arise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Paul saw it coming. And Paul foresaw the great apostasy that came after the apostles and even their disciples had died. So Paul says, take heed. What does that mean? Be very careful. Don't let everything you hear just feed your soul and your mind carelessly. He said, for even among yourselves, from yourselves, will arise up men that will start to teach perverse things. That means unscriptural things. In order to draw the attention of the disciples away from Christ to themselves. That's a false prophet. Whenever a preacher, a prophet, a teacher draws attention to himself more than to Christ, it's a false prophet. It's out of selfish reasons. In 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 through 15, the Bible says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ." In other words, it doesn't matter what people call themselves, whether they're called Father or Reverend so-and-so or whatever they may call themselves. They said they transformed themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers, who profess to be ministers of the gospel, also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So appearing as ministers of righteousness, even as Satan appears as an angel of light, and this is so dangerous for the church today, that we can be deceived by false teachings. And there's seeds of false teachings that are often planted in hearts, and they grow, and they come forth, and they bear their fruit. And one day, they're no longer in fellowship with the believers. They believe strange teachings. They believe even lies, because Satan has deceived them. Now, some people say, you can't be deceived if you're a true child of God. Oh, why would the Bible warn us? If we are true children of God, we are still human. We can be deceived, and Satan, as an angel of light, he will make sure that he will deceive us in such a way, before we notice it, we're already off track. How dangerous. The young preacher Timothy was warned by the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy 4. And I'd like to encourage you to read that chapter later today, 1 Timothy 4. I'll just read the first few verses. "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons." This is interesting, because Satan has demons assigned to give false doctrine, false teaching. They are disguised as angels of lights. They will say, this is from the Spirit of God. This is in the Word of God. It may be a Bible verse that has been plucked out of a whole context and taken out of context, and then a whole system of belief being built on it. Or it may be in other ways. Now, Paul was warning Timothy of the apostasy that would come. And I can't go into all the details. There's a lot of New Testament scripture verses. For example, Peter says, he refers to it in 2 Peter 2, verse 1 to 3. "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways." Why? Because it appeals to the flesh. "Because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber." So if the apostles prophesied, and truly so, that false prophets would come, false teachers would be there, how many more are living and teaching false doctrines today? And we should be aware of that. Now, Paul was referring in his writers, if you continue to read, especially 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and he prophesies of the apostasy, of what will come, that there will be a man of sin, a son of sin and evil, and that man will pretend and will confess to be God. And Paul was prophesying of how the church, in name, a system would come that is totally unscriptural, is not the Bible. For example, what church prophesies or what church proclaims that they are Christ on earth, representation of Christ on earth? Jesus says, I will send you a comforter. Is that the Pope in Rome? It is the Holy Spirit. But people believe it. The Pope is the Holy Father. The Pope is infallible. He cannot sin. He cannot be wrong. That's what they've been told. Yet he is a man. And a man can be wrong. But God cannot. And the whole system. And I don't want to say this. I love Catholic people. I love Catholic people, but I don't believe that the system of Catholicism is biblical. Paul said they forbid to get married. Who does that? The priest cannot get married. And look at all the mess that things have come over the years because the priests weren't married. It's not just that. They teach a lot of other false doctrines. And that's just one example. We have a lot of evangelical churches that have bought into false teachings that the church didn't used to believe. Now, I don't have time to go into all that. But we have many warnings in the Bible. And so I would encourage you to search the scriptures and to make sure that we are on the right path. How can we identify false prophets? The Bible gives us that key as well. You will know them by their fruit. What kind of fruit is it? Well, we say they have a lot of people that follow them. I mean, look at all the cults all around us. The cults demand a lot from their people and the people flock to them. That's not necessarily proof that they're right. It's because a lot of people flock to them. Examine the fruit. Listen, if a false prophet is confessing one thing and doesn't live it, this is how Jesus describes the heart. From within, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, blaspheming the truth of the word of God, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. False teachers are often the ones that have been betrayed by Satan himself. Satan has deceived them. And they believe their false lies without really proving scripture because they are so focused. They're so engulfed with greediness and immorality, selfishness, the lust for power and for recognition. Because that's what Paul says, that they will deceive the disciples to follow after them, to take attention away from Christ. And loved ones, if there is ever a time that Christ needs to be exalted, that Christ needs to be preached, the true Christ of Scripture, it is in our day and time. Because there are many different Christs that are being described or being preached in our day and time. There are those type of Jesuses where you can do anything you want. And you're always going to be okay. He's always going to overlook everything you do and you say. And he will be always there for you, the loving Jesus. that never criticizes, that never says that you need to repent, because he loves you just the way you are. That's not the Jesus of Scripture. The Jesus that never demands anything of you, that never demands that you give up this or give up that. The Jesus that never demands self-sacrifice, that never demands that you take up your cross and follow. They're not that Jesus. They're teaching another Jesus. But there's only one Jesus of Scripture. So we need to also examine the fruit of their teaching. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "But there were also false prophets among you, as I said before, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring destructive heresies." Secretly insert false teachings into churches. Why do churches split a lot of times? We say, well, they had a fight. No, they were not clear in the doctrine. They were not clear in the teaching of the Word of God. They started to emphasize certain scriptures rather than seeing the whole thing and saying, wait a minute. If I focus on one scripture and ignore the others, I will be deceived. I have to be kept in balance on the right path. I cannot ignore one scripture by emphasizing another one. So, it's a lot about, oftentimes, finances with the false teachers. They will emphasize, and like 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 20 and 21 says, that we need to avoid this, that anyone should blame us in this lavish gift which is administered by us, providing honorable things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of man. That means that we watch and we are careful not to preach the gospel for earthly gain, for financial gain. And then these deceptive spirits, they appeal to covetousness, to covet. And this is what Peter says here in 2 Peter 2 verse 3. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. That means they are after your money, after your donations. And when you hear someone preaching and proclaiming, whether it's on TV or whatever, if you give to this ministry, the Lord will bless you tenfold and a hundredfold and a thousandfold. Be aware and be careful. Because just because we give our gifts to the Lord, to the Lord's work, there's no guarantee that we will be wealthy, that we will be healthy. Because we are in God's hands and God will help us in our daily struggle. Sometimes God puts a cross on us that we need to bear. And we need to be sober-minded when it comes to these appeals of false teachers. False teachers draw people with an appeal to what people often covet. They want to be in good health and they want to be wealthy. You know, if you sow seeds, then the seed will grow. And these prosperity gospel preachers, be aware of those. Don't believe everything. Because so many people are being deceived and so many people are terribly disappointed because they thought that they would become wealthy and healthy when they would listen to those preachers and they gave and it didn't help. It wasn't true what they said, but they're laughing all the way to the bank and have your money. Beware of false prophets. Using deceptive words, 2 Timothy 3 verse 13. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Those that deceive others, they are also being deceived. And the Bible talks about imposters. What is an imposter? It's an actor. It's somebody who pretends to be something they're not. And Paul encourages and urges Timothy to handle the Word of God rightly. It's a huge responsibility. And this is why it is the obligation and the responsibility of the congregation, of all believers, to pray for their pastors and teachers, that God will help them to be inspired by the Holy Spirit and to be protected from false teaching. And may God protect me from ever teaching a false teaching, knowingly or even unknowingly. It would never be my intention. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 14 through 16, Paul says, "Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness." That is, take notice of false doctrines and reject them. You see, when we are called to love, when we are filled with the love of God, we're so focused on everything is love. I mean, we can't do anything without love, right? But if God gives us the capability and the ability to love sacrificially, He also gives us the ability and capability to hate with a passion that which is wrong, that which is false, that which is a lie. And that's what He wants us to do. Hate that which is evil. And do that which is right. And love the children of God and the truth of God. You see, false prophets twist and pervert the scriptures. Galatians chapter 1 is a very good example of how the apostles had preached there. They had given them the truth. And then these other teachers came. They came from the Jewish tradition. Yes, they believed in Christ, but they also wanted Christians to keep the old law. And this was a huge conflict in Paul's times, and he had a hard time and sometimes had to be very, very aggressive in trying to protect the young churches from these people that would come and preach the old law. And this is what he said, "But even if we, including himself, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed," anathema. "As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that we have, what you have received, let him be accursed." You see, the Galatians were in part deceived. And Paul says, because you are going back, you are going backwards in your belief. You're going backwards to the old law. You have fallen out of grace. And having fallen out of grace is a very serious matter, loved ones. A very serious matter. And we don't want that. Grace is what saves us. Grace is what sustains us. Grace is what empowers us. You see, Paul refers to these teachings as often expressed in the terms of man and not of Scripture. In Deuteronomy, there was the warning to Israelites already in chapter 13, verse 1. "If there arises among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes to pass, of which he spoke to you, saying, 'Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, let us serve them,' you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams." I want to stop right here. Now, he didn't say if that dreamer and that prophecy, what this person, this prophet said, didn't happen. He said, but if it happens, and you said, okay, look, I have given you a sign, and now follow other gods. Distract from the living God, distract from the Word of God. I have found a new way of worshiping. And it's not the Christ of Scripture. Then the Bible says, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Sometimes false teachings will bombard us and we will be tested. Do we really love the Lord? Do we cling to Him with all our hearts? Or are we going to be deceived and are we allowing other teachings to come in the way of our relationship with the Lord? The final test of how their teaching compares to the Word of God and to the Word of His apostles, that's the test we need to use. In 1 John 4, verse 1, the Apostle John writes, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Why is that so important? Because there are gospels there, there are teachings there that say that Jesus never died on the cross, that it was just a spiritual body, it was really a pretense body, it wasn't real. And he said, the Spirit of God will tell you every time Jesus came in the flesh. God became flesh, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then in verse 2, by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. And here's a very important thing you need to remember. The spirit of the Antichrist was already in the world in the apostles' time. Don't believe people when they say, oh, the Antichrist will come one day and it will be a dictator so and so and so on. Be careful. The spirit of the Antichrist was already in the world in the apostles' time. What you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So you wonder, how can I discern? How can I understand what is false teaching and what isn't? It's all about He who is in you, Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. He is greater than the deceitful spirits that are out there. And the Spirit of God will help us if we have an intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior. He will help us to understand and not be deceived, because that is His will, that we are kept until the day of His coming. And I pray that God will help all of us to be fruit inspectors. Fruit inspectors of those that teach a gospel that sounds strange. And sometimes you will hear someone preach a message or say something and you will wonder, something doesn't add up. And you kind of scratch your head and you say, well, I can't pinpoint it, but something doesn't add up. And you want to pray about it and you want to ask the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, is this of God? Is this of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or is this getting off track? It's very important for us to have that discerning spirit. And that's my desire for myself and for all of us. God once complained, or expressed a sadness through the prophet of Hosea. He said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." And he meant the knowledge of the Word of God and the knowledge of God Himself. My people are destroyed for lack of an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. And then they all of a sudden find things there and find things there, or are deceived to one direction or the other direction. May God prevent us, and may God help us that we are preserved in Him through the help and comfort and strength of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, that we follow Him no matter what voices are out there, that we follow Him with all our hearts. God bless His word. Amen.